you know, there's no evidence, there's no testimony, there's no bezdin, and the person just dies naturally, that's a problem. Because he did an Aveira. Of course he did. We hope he did Teshuvah. But if a person did an Aveira, Chas v'Shalom, and then Bezdin executes him according to the Halacha, so that appears to be a very big schus for the Neshama, that his death came about through a Bezdin, through a process of Teshuvah, which is prescribed by the Torah. Compared to a case where a person who did an Aveira, the same exact Aveira, just dies naturally. Okay, so the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem how to kill him and what to do, and the whole Jewish people watched and he was stolen lahalacha, that certainly puts him way ahead of the game. You know, he's not as ahead in the game as a person who never did the Aveira, but the fact that he did the fact that he was punished according to halacha, that certainly is a great zuchus for his neshama. But again, all of these things, I have no idea. Literally no idea what these things mean. No, I'm not convinced you're going to find for me a person in this world living today that we know about that can tell us anything more.
But then I also heard that, like, Rabbi Akiva was talking about that subject about this person.
Yes.
And then Rabbi Akiva said, I am that man who...
Okay, these are Kabbalahs. These are his Gilgulim. You're talking to the wrong guy. You're talking to the wrong guy. This stuff, it really does not interest me. I just do not connect to this. I know there are people out there that they are fascinated and they live this type of stuff. Gilgulim, the Ramah Mipano, you have a map. Everyone, who's the Gilgul of everyone? This person, how many times he was reincarnated in this world and came back? This is dangerous stuff. This Scientology? Scientology, this is mamish, this stuff is really dangerous territory to get involved.
No, but is that what Rabbi Akiva said? He said that, he was a Gemara of that person.
And it's not in the Gemara. I don't think there's any such Gemara. These are esoteric things which we really should stay away from. Not everything that it says we have to, there's a lot to focus on in the Olam HaNigle, in the revealed portions of the Torah, than in the hidden portions of the Torah. Listen, what can I tell you? This is not the way I've been brought up. This is not from where I come from. The schools that I've gone to, and my parents, they never, ever, ever spoke about, never said the word Gilgal. I don't think my father ever said the word Gilgal. I don't think in the yeshiva they ever heard the word Gilgal. We never heard of this. Today we live in a crazy world where I can go on a Tisha B'Av program and someone can get up there and say for an hour and can say to the people, the common man in the audience, and stay online, Rabbi Yisai, let me tell you why you have all of your problems. I once heard this, I couldn't believe. I'll tell you, you have problems in life. You have problems with Shaduchim, with health, with Parnasa. I'll tell you the reason why you have the problem. Because you're a Gilgal of someone of from 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, and you did an Aveira, and you came back now to this world in reincarnation, and you have to make Tikkun. I mean, to me, this guy's out of his mind. He's really, literally, he's out of his mind. I can't believe he gets away with this. This stuff, we once learned this inside, and we learned over here in Nach, and I think it was, I don't even remember who it was, one of the Mefarshim that says, this stuff is not to be spoken about in public. These are things only for very unique people who are extremely holy and understand what these things mean, who says they're meant to be taken literally. No one knows what these things. This is not a way to live. This is dangerous. This is a perversion. You're hijacking Judaism by just talking just nonchalant about this guy's a Gilgal.
There are big people like Rabbi Yosef. They asked him about the 6 million Jews, and there were many big tzaddikim. And he says, yes, in this lifetime they're tzaddikim, but in previous lifetimes they were Rishayim, and that's why they had
I'm sorry, I don't believe, I honestly don't believe he said that. I don't know. In my book, that part was deleted from the tape. Do not go there. Do not go there. Okay, do
it
not go there.
It wasn't Rabbi Vadia talking, it was the Gilgal talk.
Listen, this stuff is not, listen, I'm not coming to argue, I'm nobody, where I grew up, the people that I'm familiar with, a certain school of thought, in basically, which is I think pretty much the opinion of all, like all the, you know, the yeshivas here in Flatbush, Chaim Berlin, Tar Vadas, Tar Tamima, Veretsky, Mir, Yeshiva Flatbush, Shalamis, all of these type of schools, this type of stuff doesn't exist. It's not in the curriculum. It doesn't exist. This stuff is like, don't go near this. This is not healthy. This is not healthy. These things which are, it's not for us. You can't go there. That's not the way you live. You live with emuna pshuta. You just live straight forward. Don't go into reincarnation. The goyim talk about this. Scientology. This is it's an avodah zarah, this type of thing.
Right, exactly.
Stay away from this. Stay far, far away from this. Okay, let's go further. No more. Adkan akof aleph. Let's go further. So we have over here this concept. You did bring up a very, very important source for the sugya of agadol avera lishma. You did bring up a very important source of the Mekoshesh. According to many of the commentators, the Mekoshesh, the act of L'shem Shemam, you saw people being mezalzel in Shabbos. They were not taking Shabbos seriously. So he went to make a statement to show the people that if you mechallel Shabbos, you're going to die. He wanted to make an example out of himself. That's a very bizarre thing to do that. A person wants to go and make an example to show the people how severe it is to mechallel Shabbos, to go and to be mechallel Shabbos, to do an avera l'shem shemayim, so that he should die and people should learn the lesson. It's very hard to comprehend that, but that's what it says. You're right, that's what it says. The Mekoshesh did an avera l'shem shemayim. And that's the sugi over here. There's something called an avera l'shem shemayim versus a mitzvah shaloi l'shem shemayim. Halacha l'maisa, it is categorically forbidden in any circumstance to do an avera, even l'shem shemayim, period. Let's now take a look over here at the Rashi. Rashi first said exactly what the Mitzvah David said, and then Rashi cited the Medrash. And the Medrash is a very fascinating new twist. We're merely in the middle of this, and the Medrash was when it says, Migam Bochem V'yiskar Dilosayim. And the Rashi said this means is, entirely to Mshat, is there any person here for whom I did not give reward? Even for the simplest little thing. Everyone knows the story I don't even remember who the story was from, whose time period, but there was a woman, there were two women. Everyone says over this story, you hear the story a million times, there were two women that made a pact between them that whoever dies first will come back in a dream to the other woman and tell her what's going on in Shemayim. Again, this stuff, I'm contradicting myself now, right? I'm not going to talk about this type of crazy stuff, right? I'm a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite telling you this story because I don't believe in these stories. Okay, but it was. I'll tell you the story. Everyone heard this story a million times. And she came back and she said she died. And she came back in a dream to her this other woman, her friend, and she said to her, "I cannot tell you what goes on in heaven. I am forbidden. They did not allow me to reveal to you anything. The only thing they told me, I can tell you one thing. Do you remember years ago we were once walking together and there was a person that needed an address?" Directions, and I picked up my finger and I told the person, I picked up my finger and you go this way. Yemina, smola, you go this way. For picking up my finger and pointing in which direction where to go, you cannot begin to fathom the reward. The reward, the pleasure, the hanah and olam haba. All the pleasures of this world don't come and equal the reward one receives for lifting up their finger and pointing in the direction of where to go. Okay? Now, that story is a little bit hard to digest. And I'm a hypocrite, I'm telling you that story. But basically, that story is illustrating what this pasuk says, according to Rashi's second interpretation. Mi gam bochem v'yizkor delosayim. I have to go back and read Rashi to understand how to really read the words in pasuk. And migam bochem v'loy se'iru mizbechi, and then the word chinam. The word chinam, according to this drasha, is going back on both expressions. Chinam means for free. Hashem pays everyone for their deeds, even things that in this world you do not expect to get money. If someone stops you on the street and says, "Can you please give me directions?" you will not have the chutzpah to say, "If you'll give me $5, I'll tell you how to go. I'll tell you where it is. I'll tell you, I'll give you directions where you can get a bus, get the B68, where you can get the B11, the B6. I'll tell you, I'll give you instructions. Give me $5. Ridiculous. No one does that. No one goes and charges $5 to tell you, give you directions. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, do I pay you $5 when you give directions? I don't just pay you $5, I pay you $5 million. The reward that I give is infinite, even for the simplest things. Mi gam bochem. Is there anyone over here that can deny that for the Yisgar de losayim, for closing the door, if someone asks you to close the door, I give you reward? It's not chinam. It's not chinam. V'loy se'iru mizbuchi. And is it not so that if you light a fire, if someone asks you, can you light up my cigarette? Is it not so that I, is it chinam? You have to be a little bit creative in how you translate the words into the pasuk, but that's what Rashi over here says. There's no such thing. I provide reward for every last little thing. And therefore, how much more so will I provide you reward for the difficult things in life, for the struggle of doing things that in society it is acceptable to be paid big money? How much more so will I provide you with infinite reward for your difficulties? That is the drasha. That is the drasha. Lefich ein li chayfetz bochem. Now let's actually read this again to maybe try to get to these words. A very beautiful drasha. But on page 868, on the words ein li chayfetz bochem, Rabbi Seinu darshu, after Rashi first told us the first interpretation, which is identical to what it says in the Mitzvah Tavid, Rashi now gives us the drash. Ein li chayfetz bochem, Rabbi Seinu darshu, b'toras kohanim, Adam oimer lachaveroi. A person says to his friend, Hagev li esadeles, hazo, do me a toiva, close the door. It's cold outside. Close the door. Do you say to him, okay, give me money? You don't demand, I'll only close the door if you pay me $5. How likely is Saner Hazza? Do me a toiva. Can you have a match? Can you light my cigar? You don't go ask for money. V'yatem. But you, mi bochem, is there anyone here? Shesogar dalti chinam. Anyone here in the Beis Hamikdash who closed the door? Is there anyone in general, no, in life in general, that got this for free? Notice he takes the word chinam at the end of the pasuk and applies it both ways. V'lo hey artem mizbechi chinam. Is anyone that did not light my mizbech for free? Kal v'choymer sheloy asisem chinam devarim shadarkon la'asoyis v'sochar. Therefore, how much more so will you receive you reward for things that in this society you get a lot of money. Now, I don't understand the next line. Maybe you can tell me what it means. Lefichach, therefore, ein li chayfetz bochem. How does that flow? I don't know how that flows. I really don't understand the pashup shot. But come, maybe pashup, how does that flow? Ein li chayfetz bochem. I have no desire, because I reward you for every last thing. What? No use for you, but how does that flow from this idea?
You don't function like you're supposed to. You're supposed to do the job.
Because I'm so good to you, you're saying that because I am so gracious and I give you so much, and you now are not reciprocating, you're not behaving. I give you infinitely more than you deserve, and you misbehave. You know what? I'm done with you. Something along those lines. Okay, let's continue the Rashi. Page 870. Gadol Shemi Bagoyim. Amu Rabbi Sein, Amu Rabbi Sein. 870. Next pasuk enough. Amu Rabbi Sein, the Korele Eloka de Elokaya. The God of the God. Afilu Mi Sheyesh Revo, the Zor Yodea Sheyesh. It's exactly what the Mitzvah David said. The Rashi of you are singing much more eloquently. They call Hashem the God of the gods. That's what he's saying. The Goyim deep down acknowledge there is a creator. The only mistake that they make is that they think HaKadosh Baruch Hu has left town and he gave over his powers to nature. He gave over Mother Nature, became the new god. Or in the ancient times, they gave the power is the sun, the moon. Today, it's the almighty dollar bill. The almighty dollar is the god that Hashem has given over. There is a god, he created the world, but he's gone. He left town and he gave over his authority to other entities. The Karule, they call Hashem, what we call Hashem, Eloka de Elokaya, the God of the gods. Afil Misha Yeshle Avodazoro Yoidea, he knows good and well, Sheyesh Eloka Shu Al Kulam. But that's what Chazal said. It's an amazing, amazing insight in human psychology. We trust what it says in Rashi and Chazal say much more so than what the Goyim. There are no atheists in a foxhole, right? Isn't that the expression? There's no, even though all these atheists and all these people who worship idols, they're just running. They're hiding from themselves. Deep down inside, everyone knows there is a God. Like I always make the joke, what's the difference between an atheist and an Orthodox Jew? Orthodox Jew, he gets up and he says, Moida ani lefanecha melechayvi kayom shechazarta bi nishmasi bechem l'rabba munasecha. An atheist, he wakes up in the morning with a groysel l'shma, he says, Moida ani lefanecha, that you made me an atheist. He thanks Hashem every single day for making me an atheist. That's the only chilek. Deep down, everyone knows there's a creator. All these people who register, you know, they have these questionnaires. It's a total fraud. The whole thing is a total lie. People just, we live in a world of make-believe. Facebook. You only put on Facebook things that you're proud of. You don't put on Facebook on your all of the bizyonos you suffer in life. You create for yourself an image of the way you want to present yourself, which is 99.9% a total lie. Okay, it's a very big chassar. The social media business is an incredible tool of communication, but it's been hijacked by the world and is a tool of presenting yourself as someone who you're not. It's an amazing thing. It's the most incredible koyach of social media. Of Briyas Olam, Vayihila Adam, Lenefesh Chayim, Leruach Mimalala, the ability to communicate. And we have the ability in our day and age to communicate like never before. Yet, it's been hijacked. It's been hijacked into a tool that people use to make believe, to create for themselves a narrative that's just what you want, but what is not MS. Further in Rashi, it's a great Rashi, this Rashi over here. It's a Chazal, it's a Gemara Menachos. It's a Chol Mokam Misnadvim L'Shmi. And every place in the world, they do give Nidavos in L'Shmi, in my honor, Afa Umos. Now, Afa Umos. So he's not really following through this means, but basically the Mitzvah Stav explained that when you go and you offer, when you give honor to the sun, the moon, the Chulu, it's really in essence an expression to give honor to Hashem, because Hashem wants us to give honor to His servants. The ones that they think Hashem gave over His power to. Now we have a drasha. But Rabbi Seidu Perishu, Eilu Talmidei Chachamim Ha'iskim B'Hilchus Avoida B'Chol Makayim. This refers to Talmidei Chacham who learn Kachem. The Chavetz Chaim was very big into this. Let's read the whole thing. V'chein kol tzilas yishol shem espadalim b'chol makayim harei heim li k'mincha tohoi. There's a whole new drasha. This is the drush. We're taking the words out of context and we're making a drasha. That when Klal Yisrael davens, Unshalma Fodim Sifoseinu, our tefillos are in the place of Karbanos, and learning, when you learn, like we say every single day, we learn the Ezel Mekom and Shal Zvach, when you recite every day the parak, the Ezel Mekom, and it's the place of being Karbanos, it's Ki'ilu they bring a Mincha Tehoira. The Chintirgim, when I said, Rechol, Edom, every time that Atun of Din Re'usi, every time when you do my will, Ano mikabel tzuloi tzchoyim, I accept your prayer. Ushmi rabo, my great name is Miskadash, is sanctified. Al yidechoyim, through your deeds. Utzuloi tzchoyim, and your prayers are ki korban, a sacrifice, dechei, that has been offered kodomai. Dechein perish amikud. Now he's going to read this into the pasuk. The Lama Atem Chalalim Shani, why then you, the Jewish people, do you profane my name? The Haloi Godol Huba Goyim, I am Godol among the Goyim, Vani Ahavosi Vichibosi Aleichem, my love and my two different expressions of love is upon you. Shabhol Mokam Shatem Svalim Lufona, whenever you daven for me, Vaf the Goyla. Okay, even in Golos, a very good pasuk for Shabbos Nachamu. Ima Goylop, Muktar Umugoshu Lishmi, it's considered to be a Ketores, it's considered a carbon in my name. Umincha tohoruhuli ki al yideichem, through you gadol shemi ba'goyim. So what is this? Let's read for the whole thing to the end of the panel. We'll come back and we'll explain. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'yatem mechalim oiso eshemi. So Rav Kalman hit the nail on the head. Mechalim oiso mechal Hashem's name. V'nivo nivze ochloi. Nivoi shel mizbech ha-shogur b'sif soichech. B'sif soichem. The words that are said regarding the mizbech. Okay? So nivo means dibur. It means words. Words that are said regarding the mizbech that are fluid in your mouth. Zehu tamid nivze ochloi. What does that mean? It's this food is disgusting. Atem oimrim olav yisei concerning it. Kumaymar kivar. You've already said Lashon Hara on Omoitzi Shemra on the Mizbeach. The Nivze Hechazaten L'Mizbechi. This expression you have taken hold of to utter it regarding the Mizbeach, to say Ochloi. The word Ochloi means Ma'acholoi, it's food. So let's review the pasuk inside according to Rashi's Drush. Pasuk Yud Aleph says, "Ki b'mizrach shemesh v'amir." Rashi is not commenting that refers to time or that refers to location. Gadol shmi ba'goyim. Even the goyim, the Rashi is a really, really different twist. Rashi, even the goyim know I exist. V'chol mokoyim, and Rashi is now saying in reference to Klal Yisrael, muktar mugosh l'shmi. You have the ability in every location, even in Golos. So the whole book, according to Rashi's drasha, the Chazal, it means just because the Beis Hamikdash will be destroyed. Okay, Malachi is speaking now to Klal Yisrael. The vast majority of Klal Yisrael did not return to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. And as we learned many, many times, the Bayis Sheni was not considered to be a geula. The Bayis Sheni was considered just to be a nice shul, a big, nice, a grand synagogue in Yerushalayim. Klal Yisrael during the entire era of the 420 years of the Bayis Sheni was still considered to be in Golos. The Shechina never fully returned. When the Bayis Rishon was Chorav, that was the Golos. The entire era is still called a semi-Golos. And that's when the V'chol Makom, no matter where you are in the world, no matter where you find yourself, even in times when there is no Korbanos, by davening to Hashem, by doing Maisim Toivim, it is the equivalent of a muktar, of bringing a nachas ruach, ketores, mugosh, offering korbanos, l'shmi fa Hashem, u'mincha tohoira, and I consider it to be the offering of mincha tohoira wherever you are in the world, wherever you do a maisim tovim and you do the rotsoin Hashem, this is considered to be, in my eyes, an offering as if the Beis Hamikdash was in its full glory. Ki godol shmi ba'goyim. Now here's where Rashi is now really putting a little bit of a twist into the pasuk, and by doing so, you sanctify my name amongst the goyim. When the umos ha'olam see Klal Yisrael are faithful, are loyal to Hashem, there is no greater kiddush shem shamayim. This that you, no matter where you are in the world, no matter what v'chol makom, you're still loyal to me, and you do the mitzvahs, and you do the equivalent of muktar mugosh l'shmi u'mincha tohoira. That is the greatest sanctification of Hashem's name amongst the Umma Yisraelam. Ki godol shmi ba'agam. You thus are making my name great among the nations. What Rashi has done, and then Hashem now says, and instead, this is what should be, and instead, you're foolish. You're foolish, because what do? Instead, v'atem you mechalim oisai. You are foolish. You are mechalim my name b'morchem. In this that you say, and as Rashi is saying, it's not really in the present tense, even though it's written in the present tense. But it means this that you've already done, and you've rejected your history, the service of Hashem. Shulchan Hashem megolu. It's disgusting. V'nivo, and the words that are circulating in society, that the Jews, they look at their religion as being nivze ochloi, offering sacrifice to Hashem is something that is disgusting. That's the ultimate chilul Hashem.
Isn't Malachi talking to his contemporaries?
He's talking to us. He's talking to his contemporaries. He's talking to us. He's talking to the general thing. The Malachi, the Malachi here is saying is, you're now in Golis. You're now in Golis, and you're all over. You're spread all over the world. And if you, everything that you do to continue to be loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is equivalent to bringing korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it also in turn is the sanctification of Hashem's name amongst the goyim when they see our loyalty to Hashem. But unfortunately, he's criticized that we're not with the program. We're not davening. We're not doing the mitzvahs the way that we should. And thus the goyim, when they look at us, what do they say? They say that, oh, the Jewish people, they had enough. They're calling it quits. They're giving up on their religion, and they have charata on all of the service that they've done to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where they look back and they say that when they brought sacrifices to Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, it was a waste of time. The reputation, the word out is the Nevo. If you would translate that into modern terminology, the word out in the street amongst the goyim is that the Jews consider service of Hashem to be disgraceful. Unfortunately, if a Mechol was here, he would tell us that's exactly what the left wing Jewish Democrats, the liberals, the Jewish liberals, they renounce every element of Judaism. They totally renounce it, and they say that observance of Torah and mitzvahs is disgraceful. The word out in the street is that the Jews reject their own religion, they reject their own beliefs that they've been practicing for 3,333 years. They reject it. They reject it. They consider what they've been doing for the last 3,000 years nivze, disgraceful. The food, the sacrifices, the service they provided to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nivze. That's the word out in the street. That's what it means, the word v'nivo. The word out in the street is that the Jewish people are saying, we have charata, we have no regard for our service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's megalu, it's disgusting, it was a waste of time, it's despicable, it's disgraceful. That is the ultimate chilul Hashem. Mechalalim oiso. You being mechalal the Shem Hashem. Here you have an opportunity like never before. You have a much greater opportunity in the time of Chum, because in one way there was a Bayis Rishon. Where were we all concentrated? We were all concentrated in Eretz Yisrael. The Goyim didn't know what's going on. They didn't see us. There was no video. There was no pictures. So the only way you can actually see the Jewish people serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is if you come, you visit Eretz Yisrael. There were no shuls all over the world when there was a Bayis Rishon. The only place where the Jews were concentrated was in Eretz Yisrael. Now we live all over the world. Now we have an opportunity when you behave yourself and you're an honest, upstanding member of society, this is a kiddush Shem Shemayim that you have an opportunity to do now that in the history of the Jewish people we never had. Because when it was the Beis HaMikdash, it was Manasseh, Beis HaMikdash HaKayim, he was only located in Yerushalayim. And instead, what do? You make it even worse. You go and you say, who needs to daven, who needs to learn, who needs to do mitzvahs? Just abandon everything, just get rid of everything. Get rid of everything. This is the ultimate Chil Hashem.
Now, if you're saying Malachi is talking to us today, is he talking to the 10% of the world who are showing me Torah or mitzvahs, or the 90% who are not?
He's talking to everyone on their level. Anyone that's willing to listen on their level.
The 90% are not listening at all.
Are they really not listening? Deep down, every person has the Bechira point. Just because a person is not Shemitah or Mitzvah. Every guilty conscience, every person on their level. On their level, that's how Hashem made the world. There's always a conscience. There's always something that they know they should be doing better. Should I go to Shul on Yom Kippur? Okay? Should I even acknowledge, should I take off from work that day? I'm not going to go fast. I'm not going to eat. Every person on their level knows something. And certainly we know, Baruch Hashem, we're blessed to know a lot more and how much do we even care about our other people, that they're not of it? What could we do to help them? It's a big, and every person, their levels, Dvarim Shudim Admod, it's tremendous Chil Hashem when people behave like this, when they totally reject, renounce their...
So is he criticizing the 10% of the Jews in the world who are showing terrorism?
Absolutely, on their level. On their level, yes. Why aren't you doing more? Every time a person doesn't behave correctly, that's a Chil Hashem. Yes, absolutely, he's talking to every single person. Okay, so this includes Rashi. Let's maybe just for a minute look at the Radak, start the Radak for a few moments. The Radak back on page 869, Pasik, Yud. Mi gam bochem shatem ro'im mi yitain shiyeh bochem ish echad shiyitain es libo dvar hakarbonas hanivzim. Amongst you who are evil, is there any one person upon you that pays attention to the fact that in your heart you consider the korbanos disgraceful, the yiskar dilosayim, yiskar dal sehazar shalo yavi sham odom karbon, ki toivu shalo yaviu karbon mishiyaviu nivze. He's working with the same principle as Rashi's first pshat and the Mitsudois' only pshat. Hashem is coming to seek out men of courage who are willing to go and acknowledge that it would be better to shut down the Beis HaMikdash than to offer sacrifices that are shaloi l'shem shemayim, which in the minds of the people are considered disgraceful. V'loi se'idu al mizbuch yichidam, v'loi saviru, do not burn, make a fire. Noshim bo'os ni'iroi se'so, women come and they destroy it. Perish uvechinam tevaru esh al mizbeach, this is carbon emissions. How can you go and light a fire on the mizbeach? It's pollution. Pollution. Remember, I always tell you that at Hanukkah, some of these environmentalists, they plead with the Orthodox community, this year on Hanukkah, please care about the environment. Light this year one less candle than last year. When you light your Hanukkah candles, it's the third day of Hanukkah. You don't have to light three candles. The environment, global warming, carbon emissions, light two candles. A little bit. Make a little donation to the environment. You know something? They're right. It's pollution, carbon emissions. If you don't light a Hanukkah candle, l'shem shemayim, if you're not sincere in lighting the Hanukkah candles, l'shem shemayim, what are you lighting the Hanukkah candles for? It's pollution. Who's asking you to pollute this world? If you're lighting the Hanukkah candles, the Shem Shemayim, you have an appreciation of what Hanukkah is all about, then that's the purpose of this world. The purpose of this world is to have, you can have some pollution, it's okay. It's okay for there to be some smoke, it's okay. It's fine. But if you're not doing it, L'Shem Shemayim, who is asking you to pollute this world? It's exactly what Malachi is saying. He was an environmentalist. He was in favor of going green. He was all for it. Who's asking you? Pollution, carbon emissions. If you do, l'shem shamayim, that's a whole different story. Isn't that what he says? Who asked you to do this? Perish uve lois yu al amas v'chinam, v'lois sever go nashon os, perish uve chinam tevar ha'esh al amas v'ch, ya carbon ha'shek, takribu olav, ein loy l'ratzim yel b'chem, v'loy l'mavim o'yso, it is not going to be acceptable, not for anyone who's Zoshamar, Ain Lichavis Bachem Kimasim, Roim Minchastem, Ainu Ritsuya, your deeds are evil and your mincha is not acceptable. Afiluhaisatoiva Koshhidhi Ra. Even if it was good, even if you brought me an animal that was not defective, even if the animal was not blind and sick and didn't smell, I would not accept it. Because in your mind, this is a disgusting service. How much more so when you bring me defective merchandise? I have no favor, not in your gifts and not in you. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ki mimizrach shemesh an mavo, kol hayishuv hu mimizrach lamar ve'enenu kein mitzav l'dom ki enenu miyushuv kuloi. Okay, so here he says, the Radak over here is coming to second the Mitzudas David, and he's saying we're not discussing Zaman. Rashi was totally silent on this. But the Mitzudos David and Radak both agree that we're discussing location, from where the sun rises to where the sun sets. Very interesting. No one ever heard this before. It means location, the entire location of the civilized world. How come it did not then say north and south? if you're telling me locate, if you're telling me we're talking Zaman, time, so the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west. This is Zaman, this is time. But if you're telling me it means location, so why is location limited to the east and to the west? What about the north and the south? So the answer he's giving is that in ancient times, there was no civilization. There were no human, there was no life in the north and in the south. The world was only centralized in the northern, the strip, in the northern hemisphere.
Mesopotamia.
They didn't acknowledge that there is any humanity, any life up north, above where they, above this strip of land, what you call the Mesopotamia, and anything down south. What's down there? Who knows what's down there? That's a very interesting idea because the question is very powerful. If you say it means Zaman, okay, east-west, that's Zaman. But if you're telling me it means location, excuse me, what about Greenland? What about Argentina? What happened to those guys down there? They're not human beings. What happened to them down there? What's going on? Obviously, in this period of time, they did not acknowledge that there existed any sophisticated form of life up north and down south. Okay, that's what he's saying over here. The Radak is saying, going all the way back to the 12th, 13th century, they didn't acknowledge.
Gemara in Ein Darshan sort of alludes to it when it says other Marishon, Sofa, Olam, and Sofa.
Yeah.
So it talks about what about north, south, sort of. We're dealing with
east-west. East-west, unbelievable, unbelievable. This is
Mesopotamia, by the way, means between the rivers.
So what rivers?
Tigris and Euphrates.
That's a teeny little area.
That's
teeny.
It widens. They don't, it doesn't equals like this. So that's where civilization was.
Okay.
That's the Greek words for between.
But
the
at the
rivers.
Point of the, at the time of the Radak road, the world was much larger. All right, but he's referring back to the mindset. The
but
mindset of
the
Everyone is saying exactly the same thing, this principle that everyone, every guy, every Gentile, deep down, you put him on the couch, put him on hypnosis, bring out the inner core, will acknowledge there is a God. Their mistake is Hashem has left town, given over his powers to other entities. He has a whole new pshat. Okay, but it's very late, so we're not going to have really time to go to spend the pshat to appreciate what he says over here. We have to leave this for next time. All right, we have a very short break, and we'll learn some chumash literally in 60 seconds.
How is the whole
wife? I sent him a message. I didn't get anything back yet from him. Did not respond yet. He did not respond yet.